welcome to the NDB Sunday Show with me, Chris Steyn, and Yonita Dupree of Action Society. Morning, Yonita.
Good morning, Chris.
The belated crime statistics. 63 South Africans are murdered every day. But how accurate are those statistics?
Well, yes, it is belated because we now on Friday we had two quarters released because the first one was just skipped. That was for quarter one of 2025-2026. And I think there was no explanation given, but we can assume it was because of the big corruption thing that was what's going on and Nkunu being placed on leave. So now we had quarter one and quarter two on Friday. Yes, the new minister said it's not joyous. He didn't use the word joyous, but it's good news that it is down a little bit. The violent crimes, things like murder and attempted murder. But saying it is down and it's still at 63 per day, it's still very, very, very high. It is not acceptable. How believable it is, I do think it is. We always work on the crime stats, and for murder and attempted murder, I think we can believe those stats because it is the police are involved when somebody is murdered. So those ones, yes. But if we look at the sexual offenses and rape, which is increased again, like it is every quarter, then I don't know how believable that is because people just don't go to the police anymore, or not everybody goes there because they don't want to go through the long process that we know is a reality. So those are not 100% accurate, but for murder, yes, I would say that is more or less accurate, but still nothing to celebrate, nothing.
Mm. So every time the crime statistics are released, you call for the same reforms. Would you like to do that again?
Yes, we would indeed like to do that again. It is always the same thing, and. If people can just understand that, and I say people, I mean, if the government can just understand that it's small things that can be done that can fix the problems, we don't have to. The worse it gets, the less easy it's going to be to fix the problems. Like I said to somebody else, there are solutions and. We have to realize, unfortunately, the problem is so big, it's not going to be a one day, one month, one year fix. It's going to take years and years for the problems to be fixed. But we should start. We can't just say it's a problem and now we're just going to sit with the problem. We have to actively work and find solutions. So just some of the things that we continue saying is that. If we focus on children, we can say there should be integrated case management system for child protection, because they get lost in the administrative gaps, and it's such a long process, and there are so many places where the case can just not come to fruition. We need to invest in public-private partnerships. And I was actually quite happy to hear when Minister Kachalia said in his introduction to the crime stats that they have started testing in some places some public-private partnerships, and they have had success with that. So which proves what we've been saying, but now let's do it in a more structured way. Let's do it in a bigger way. If we have public-private partnerships, in fact, if we go one step back, if we have decentralization of, for a start, the police, we can we can put things in place so that we can have public public-private partnerships. For instance, the DNA backlog that we have, outsource that to private companies, to universities. They have memorandums of understandings in place so that we are sure the chain of command is protected. Not the chain of command, the chain of possession. But make sure that is in place. And then we can work on that. I can't remember if it was during the crime stats or just after that. We heard again, how big the DNA backlog is. And during the commission, the Madlanga commission and the committee, it was confirmed yet again, what big a problem it is. So let's get a solution. It's available. Let's just get those memorandums of understanding in place and then just start working on the solutions.
Now, if I have counted correctly, we have had 9 ministers of police and 9 national commissioners since 1994. I think this week, one in particular stands out. He was national commissioner, let me check, from 2009 to 2011. And then he was minister from 2018 to 2024. Those are many years of power for a man who collects his cash in grocery bags.
And spends it on fancy hats.
What did you make of the testimony of tenderpreneur, Burberry-wearing, waiting trial prisoner, Kat Matlala, about Bekkie Cele?
Well, it's difficult to distinguish who is the bigger crook, because Kat is saying yes, he gave Cele asked him for R1 million, but he only gave him 500,000, and he gave it to him in his money bag, the Woolworths black bags, in 2 different occasions, and he also introduced them to different to people who can further the cause. I really liked it. I keep going back to Glynis Breytenbach's questioning of Kat, where she said, "You're a crook. You're not a businessman." I just keep going back because I applaud what she said to him. If it fell on deaf ears, then so be it. But I think most South Africans agree with what she said. He is a crook. He's a criminal. He's a guy who stole so that he can line his pockets, and the poor people face the consequences because of that. And for him to say he gave money to Cele, it probably happened, but how would we know? Because he's a criminal. We can't believe what he's saying. He's just trying to cover his back. But on the other hand, we know that Cele was a bad guy. Action Society has been very vocal about Cele, and why was he fired from being national commissioner? Not because his tenure ran out, because he is a corrupt guy, and then his ties to the criminal underworld is well known. Everybody knows. So I think there is some truth in what Kat is saying. But he is also a criminal, so can we really believe what he's saying? Nevertheless, both are crooks.
President Cyril Ramaphosa, he kept resisting calls to fire, as Neil de Beer called him, Stoeliekie Tafelkie Cele, you know. Because yes, ever at funerals, for some other reason, that was his preferable, or his, the social appearance he most preferred.
I remember there was a clip of a guy sitting out of parliament and said, Cele is just the minister of funerals and something, funerals and interviews or something like that. When there's a camera, then he's there. He was well known for that as minister. And it took a long time for him to be ousted. And it wasn't so much ousted as just he said he's retiring now. It was a shuffle of the cabinet. So it could very well be that he just decided, okay, I'm done with this. My pockets are lined enough. I don't have to stay there anymore. But it begs the question, why did Cyril Ramaphosa not act against him? We know he was in the Cyril camp, but why was he so protected? Because he's obviously got some information on very high up people, including the president, and that's why he was untouchable. And unfortunately, it was so interesting. I think we can discuss how successful the commissioners and the ministers were.
Please do. But have you kept track?
Yes, we actually did. But he was by far one of the worst as both positions. I did a little summary just to have a look. And actually, we can just summarize it as 30 years of cumulative decay. Crime intelligence was gutted by corruption. SAPS was militarized instead of professionalized. Stations across South Africa became hollowed out. DNA forensics collapsed repeatedly, and Tele played a very big role there. Political interference became normal. And then they lost the public trust. It's still not, it's going to take a long time before we have that trust back, if we do, because then there needs to be big changes before we can start the process of fixing the trust in the police. It's terrible, the track record of the past 30 years. I asked ChatGPT to, when I put all the data in, I said, so do you think South Africa, and you don't have to be objective, be really honest. And I said, what do you think about the track record? What does it say about South Africa's safety? And the answer was, the track record is objectively terrible, not because policing is impossible, but because leadership has been catastrophic for long stretches. Most democratic countries have professional police chiefs, non-political appointments, strong oversight, decentralized policing, stable intelligence structures. South Africa had commissioners convicted of corruption, ministers fired for corruption, boards of inquiry, political purges, factional battles, cover-ups, and policing policies that changed with every factional fight. That's a very nice summary of what we've had for the past 30 years. And then I also looked at how damaging they were. And I looked from the early 90s to up to now. And from that, there's only a handful that was some semblance of being good and didn't bring damage to South Africa. So the good ones, or relatively positive, is George Vyvers. He was a national commissioner, and he was the only national commissioner to leave without a scandal in the past 30 years, which is really bad. If you just only one. That's terrible. And then Steve Tshwete, he was, and we're saying mostly positive. He played a big role in professionalizing visible policing, which is important, and stabilizing the SAPS morale. But that was back in 1999, 2002. That's a long time ago. And the negative thing about him that if you do research that comes out is that, and for me, it's not really in hindsight, is it really negative? There was plot allegations against Ramaphosa, Segwale, and Posa, which damaged his reputation. But if in hindsight, how much truth was in there? If we now look at what is going on in the country and the allegations being made. And then we can't really measure him yet, but this is the top three that we have. And actually the only ones that comes out, if you measure them like that, is Firoz Khachalia. But he's only been in the job for a short time, but he's not had time to do anything bad yet. So we're happy about that. But he does have a reputation for being pro rule of law, anti-corruption. He's got a clean reputation. So I am hopeful that he points us in a good direction. And what I've heard of him, he doesn't speak often. And I think maybe we just are used to ministers being like, at any interview opportunity and any funeral, wherever there's a camera. He doesn't say a lot, Kachalia, but when he speaks, you can hear there's thought going into it, or thought went into it, and it makes sense what he is saying. So I think most people are keeping an eye on him, and we want to see which direction is he going. And so far, it looks good. But if we go to the measurements again, then some people who were in the middle, not too bad, not too good. We had Sydney Mufumadi, who was minister from 1994 to 1999. He played a role in the merger, the old South Africa with the new South Africa, and the police systems that had to change a little bit. So he played a big role in that. And but under his tenure, crime exploded in the 1990s. We can obviously say it's any transformation kind of time, or over going from one to the other. It goes with a bit of unrest. But he played a big role in getting it moved over. Then we all had Charles Nakula, from minister from 2002 to 2008. He oversaw some arms control and sector policing reforms, but violent crime worsened. And he said to citizens, if you don't like it, or go out of the country, or I think he said the word stop whining. So you don't want that. That really doesn't invoke I'm with you kind of feeling to citizens. If you are the Minister of Police, the one supposed to protect South Africans, he wasn't corrupt, but he wasn't effective. Then we had a well-known guy these days, Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. He was acting commissioner in 2011 to 2013. It's just not, I think he didn't have enough time to really bring any effective measures. But if you look at what he did, it's the same guy that we see now, a professional. He resists political interference, but his impact was limited because it was a short time, and he was only acting commissioner. Then we had another acting commissioner, Letsetsha Motiba. He also had a very short time, no major scandals, but no measurable improvements. But the time was too short, really, for him to do good or bad. So, yeah, that's why he's on that list. And then we have the commissioner who is the commissioner at the moment, Fanny Masemola. It's mixed. He improved the coordination for big things like cash in transit gangs and major arrests. So I think he is a police officer. He came from police. He knows how it works. But violent crime is still very high. But I always wonder, with somebody who, like Tele, who was the minister, and he was so involved, not like he is mandated to at all, how much power or authority does a commissioner have when the minister is so involved? So can we really put all the blame on Fanny Masemola if his hands are tied? I want to believe that he really wants the best for South Africa. And then we can quickly look at the bad ones, the really bad ones. Jackie Selebi was commissioner from 2000 to 2009. And the verdict says extremely bad. He was convicted for corruption, taking bribes from drug dealers. Sounds very familiar. undermined the police force's credibility locally and globally. There was major politicization and the destruction of the Scorpions. Then we have the man in the hat, very bad verdict, promoted militarized shoot-to-kill policing. He said that many, many times, shoot first, ask questions later. Violent crime rose. It's highly politicized under his tenure, factional, people are demoralized. Procurement scandal, that was a big one. And that is also where some of the DNA backlog came into play. Failed to fix DNA backlog, stations under resourcing, and the discipline in the police. Then we had Natim Tetwa, minister from 2008-2014. Bad Marikana happened under him. Crime intelligence / fund abuses under his watch. And also politically aligned. Then we have the other Nati, Nhleko, 2014-2017. He did the Nkandla fire pool report. I mean, really, how anybody could think, anybody would believe that Zuma's swimming pool at his, enclosure? Homestead was a fire pool, really. But anyways, also political influence playing a role there. Fikile Mbalula, minister 2017-2018, Mr. I fear nothing. He seems like a guy who just says whatever he wants to. He doesn't think about anything. Just the first thing that pops into his mind, he says, and he puts it on X, Twitter X. His leadership was erratic. Luckily, it was just for a short while. He went to Dubai through private companies that funded him. Yeah, he destabilized the SAPs in his short little time that he was there. Then we had Ria Piega, which she was a disaster, 2012-2015. Also, Marikana, Farlam Commission found she misled the inquiry, so she lied. She was seen as a political appointment. She had no policing background. I think she gave herself two promotions in ranks during her time. And it wasn't a good time for the police. We had an acting commissioner again, Komotso Palani, 2015-2017. Corruption charges, procurement irregularities, blue light tenders. Just not a good guy. And then we came to Senzo Mkunu, potentially extremely bad is his verdict if you put it in the measurement tool. We know all the things that's being said about him. If the accusations are valid, which we do believe it is, one of the most damaging periods for the police and for the trust of South Africans in the police force. So, yeah, if you go through all of that, we've had basically two good people, not excluding Kachalia because it's too soon to tell, but it's terrible. So in 30 years, actually, it's just been corruption, politics, nothing to do with real safety for South Africans. And that is why we see crime stats like we do.
Now we have one of them in memes with his face on a Woolies bag. I wonder how Woolies marketing people are thinking about handling this, as Burberry people must be wondering how to, you know, do we do a prison line or what?
Yeah, I see. There was also some, Fendi was also one of the accessories that Kat Matlala, he just drips money, but ill-gotten money. And yes, like I really hope that it's not just for the case that he is in incarcerated at the moment for his girlfriend's murder, but that everything catches up with him and that he that he does not have any influence after going to prison, because we do know what happens. Crime bosses run their empires from prison. So I hope that with everything coming out that he's tainted for the criminal world and they don't want to do business with him anymore, but that it's just the start of all of these, at least the top five, but that we see things crumbling under Kachalia and with Fanny Masemola and with everything that's coming out. I really do hope it brings change.
Attempted murder for the girlfriend. She's luckily still alive.
Oh, yes, sorry. I meant attempted murder.
I don't know. Did you notice, was he wearing one of the Rolexes that he falsely claimed had been stolen? Did he? I couldn't.
I didn't see it so closely. He had long sleeves on, so you couldn't really see. But you can see the... Well, maybe they brought it to jail for him to put on for his court appearance. I don't know. You know, you have to round off your outfit. You can't go without an expensive watch. Will look stupid.
That
guy is horrible.
At Action Society, you deal firsthand every day with the dysfunctional justice system. Now, I've counted, we've also had 9 ministers of justice. 9 seems to be the holy number here. But I think the person who stands out is Thembi Simelane, who was simply just moved from justice to another portfolio under a cloud of allegations of corruption.
And the thing with when these ministers are moved out, then you can, they always move to a less important, less impactful portfolio. It's always something smaller that they are moved to. Why not just take them out completely? It's probably because of the secrets and the stuff you have. But yes, it's all the important portfolios. We have failures. We have things just not happening as it should, because it's just everybody covering for each other and for themselves, and not having South Africa top of mind. It's for yourself. It's not for the country. And this is what we saw with Senzo Mthunu, if we believe all the allegations. The reason why he had all these little plans is because he wanted to be a president of the country. And this is a shining example, I think, of all the ministers. They're planning their next steps, how to have more and more and more power, more money, more connections that will sustain them after their tenure as minister. Just as bad, because we see, and the thing for us is, at Action Society, it's easy for us to, people respond to when we say the police is bad, because crime affects everybody. But the justice system, it doesn't impact you until it impacts you. So normal people, we don't know what the justice system, the court system, how it should work, all the delays. You only find that out when you're in it, and then you realize how bad it is. We work with it every day, so we know how bad it is. But most South Africans, it doesn't immediately impact you. But let me tell you, you just have to wish you're not in a situation where you have to go through the court process, the criminal court process. Something that I just wanted to mention, because it's almost laughable, but it's disgusting, actually. We have a case that it's in Pretoria, not the Magistrate Court, it's in the High Court already. And it's for a woman who was in the process of divorcing her husband after protection orders and lots of threats against her and her children. And they share a daughter as well. She was in the process, but he stopped. They had to stop to give each other documents and so on. They stopped. He threw petrol on her and set her alight. This happened in 2023. It is now in the High Court after some time in the Magistrates Court. But when it goes to High Court, the investigation must be completed. So then in, when was it? October, I think, was the last time, or early November. It was, we were in court again, for the High Court, and, the state said, we can continue. The toxicology report is outstanding, but we can continue. We don't need that. Our case is strong enough without it. But then the defense said, no, we really want the toxicology report. We can't continue without it. And the judge, we all sat there and looked at each other because we've never seen something like that in court. She said, okay, why is the toxicology report not available yet? And they explained because of the investigation, the backlogs we have and so on and so forth. And she said, well, call the doctor right here in court. Call the doctor who asked or commissioned the toxicology report and ask him how long it's going to take. So in court, the prosecutor had to sit and call, and he put it on speakerphone, and she said, oh, what, give me the phone. And she kept it on speakerphone, and she asked the person, okay, how long can we have it within a week? And I was so impressed with this judge just taking, saying enough is enough, let me take control here. But then she was sick for the next, they said, yes, within a week. She was sick the next appearance, and the day after, the tox report was not ready. So unfortunately, but I was still so impressed with how she took control. Fast forward to this week, we heard about let me just pause this. It went on by accident. I just want to put it on silent. We heard about a judge that was arrested, a High Court, Pretoria High Court judge, and turns out it's that judge. So now we don't know how long will our case continue, because it was postponed to, I think it was March next year. So now this case is not going to continue, but she and her son is on, they were arrested for 19 counts of corruption, of influencing cases. So this is the legal people, the high ups that we have representing. And again, it's the same as in the police. It's not it's not everyone that is like that. It is just some of them, and they give a bad name to all of the other ones. Because now we think, oh, but she did it. Are the other ones also doing that?
No, you know, there is much speculation about a certain other judge, you know, whose controversial decisions make for much debate. But we'll still hear more at the commission and at the ad hoc committee, I'm sure. Now, an ad hoc committee member was kidnapped, robbed of his devices and a substantial amount of money. That was MP Vusi Shongwe. Don't you think it's time that the ad hoc committee members get special protection, considering the threats some of them are getting?
I really think so, because they're getting close to truths. And this is why things like this is happening. I think it is a real threat. We've seen what happens to whistleblowers. So now we see all of these things happening, and it's not the same as Brian Mokgotsi shooting his own car and saying, I fear for my life. This is real threats. People are nervous, and they will act on their threats. And this is what we're starting to see. I really think we should protect these people. They are in danger. Definitely.
I don't know if you share this feeling with me, but some people have acted for many years as if though they are completely untouchable and so powerful that they could threaten and intimidate anybody. But I'm getting a sense now of people being put in corners and becoming panic-stricken and acting like they are scared and in despair. So I think this could be very dangerous for some.
Yes, because I think we've mentioned it before, all the alliances are now broken, and nobody knows who am I in bed with? Who got out of the bed without me knowing? And somebody else got in. So yeah, it's a. I think it is very confusing for people, and that is because they don't know who is in their side on their side anymore. Now they have to start making threats and making sure that they protect themselves. So that creates even more danger, because it could be unfounded doubts or concerns that they have causing them to act. And it makes it even more dangerous, because I want to say that the criminals are now unstable, but they are unstable people, but even more so now. And where it gets dangerous is the ones who are not known criminals. They are not businessmen like Kat Matala. It's the people who's in the forefront, who's putting up the face of somebody who's doing good, and actually on the back end they are just as big, worse
like
criminals.
Somebody was saying to me that there are people who are seeing their whole worlds falling apart, their empires crumbling, and there are some big names, I understand, that we will have difficulty believing. So we're looking forward to the rest of the testimony.
Yeah, at this stage, it's it comes out, and I don't think anybody gasps for air anymore when we hear these names, because it's just and when I speak to other people, when we speak about it, it's like it's not news. It's not surprising when we hear these allegations, when we hear these the proof, but it's still, I almost don't want to believe it, but I have to believe it, because we see the proof, we see the results of everything that was happening. But it's, everybody knew it was bad. Now it's just proving, yes, it was really as bad as we thought, and worse. And just about the proof, I wanted to say that when Mary Haas, okay, yeah, I'm happy that they really told her, you can't just come here and say things. You have to prove what you're saying. And that is something that throughout the commission and the committee, I kept saying, it's powerful bombs being dropped, but we need to see the proof of what is happening. Same thing now with Kat. He can say, I had the bag, but the one guy who says was with him, he's now dead. So how do we know it really happened? All of them, we need to see the proof to really sort out the problems.
Well, as we're nearing the end of 2025, do you think that we are looking at a new era of policing and justice post-Matlanga Commission and post-ad hoc committee?
No, I don't know how long it's still going to be. It's already been extended. Both of their deadlines have been extended, and I hope I hope it's thorough, but I hope it concludes soon. But I don't know if it's going to conclude still this year. But when it concludes, I believe there's a change in the air. I think we have more competent people now, people who are who believe in what they are doing. If we look at Minister Kachalia, and with the help of Fanny Mazimola, I do think there are changes coming. And it, like I said, when Kachalia said they've already seen success with investment in public-private partnerships, they are speaking, he's saying good things. So if we start doing those small things, then it can be the turnaround. But there are many things that must fall in place, many things that must be changed for there to be real change. And then it's going to be more than a year for us to really see the results. But we have to start somewhere.
Thank you. That was Yonita Dupree of Action Society on the NDB Sunday Show with me, Christine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.